from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Welcome back. This is the Kevin Sheehan Show, DOC DHing, along with Denton Day, and one of the regulars with Coach is Ben Standick. And Ben Standick, world class journalist. Okay, The Athletic, of course, podcaster, writer, does some stand up when available. And the mock, he has basically taken over the mock scheduling gig that Sheehan used to dominate. He has now, you've got this deal with the GMs that you do. You probably have more, you've cornered the market, these novelty subject matters that you've started. Now, what is this? You do every GM in the league. And this is what, your second or third year with this?
No, it's actually the agents, GMs, the fans of agents.
Okay.
It's
the agents. You got the GMs, you got all these different categories. Break it down for us, okay.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It's the sixth time I've done this for The Athletic. Talked to agents on a bunch of different matters. And obviously, like, people may have this view of agents as, you know, Jerry Maguire or used car salesman or whatever. And I'm not going to say there's not some of that, with depending on the person. But in general, you know, these are the people who are representing the players, their clients, but they're also therefore dealing with the NFL teams, the executives, coaches. Sometimes they're dealing with the NFL. And they're also similar to how, like, when we talk about players in training camp, we're only looking at that one player or this one unit, and we don't really have a comparison point, whereas these people are talking to all 32 teams. So when they say that something is rotten in Denmark, or they say, hey, this is top notch, there is a comparison point. So I use that as a way to talk to them about what they think of general managers, who's good at their job, who do they trust, what do they think about which organizations are running a tight ship and which ones are more unstable, where they think, to say, the wide receiver market's going, a lot of prices. Obviously, the salaries have been going up, but have we reached a peak? What do they think of Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott and so on? So that just came out yesterday, and it's always a fun one for me to do, and I appreciate everybody checking it out.
Well, no, it's interesting because usually the agents, the good ones, use us to amplify their needs, to help, you know, win the public appeal and help their athletes not be vilified, but also to be applauded. And I guess the San Francisco wide receiver, would he consider to be one of those guys that kind of fits what I'm talking about now? Because I don't know if he played this public card as well as anybody in football. 3 or 4 teams he's identifying with and really used everything and everybody, including a close friend, just to leverage himself with the team he ultimately wasn't going to leave.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I guess it sort of depends on what you view as sort of how this unfolded. Like, did he get himself a better deal With this, I don't know. I saw Adam Schefter put out that basically Ayuk took the same offer that was there for some time, but his agent, of course, has said, well, that's not true, yada, yada. You know, I think, Sam, you know, sometimes in these negotiations, teams will allow players to, or and their agents to go out and, okay, go out and see what else is out there for you, in part because, you know, they want it to be clear that, look, we're really are making you a pretty good deal in our view, that there isn't, you know, something so much better, and you got to decide where you want to be. Obviously, being with San Francisco means you have a real shot at a Super Bowl, going to teams like, say, New England, who is, you know, they had the third pick in the draft for a reason, or Pittsburgh, who's got a lot of questions at quarterback. You know, that may not, they maybe they'll pay you a tick more, but it's not necessarily a better situation. So, it's interesting on that regard. I will say that when I started asking the questions about the receiver market in general, Justin Jefferson had somewhat recently signed his extension that would be give him an annual average value of $35 million a year. And at that point, the receiver market just was continuing to accelerate up. But agents are starting to say to me, you know what, I think we may have hit a peak here. And since then, Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, and now Brandon Ayuk have all signed for less. This isn't like a quarterback where, you know, Jordan Love, who had a really good second half of last year, but he's barely played in the league, is now tied for the highest paid annual average value among quarterbacks. So the receiver market may have slowed a little bit, and I think that's one of the aspects of this doing this survey that I find interesting is it isn't just all these guys saying, oh yeah, they'll just keep making more and more money, don't worry about it. Like, no, let's be realistic. Here's where I think things are going.
So now that Brandon Ayuk is not coming here and they sign Noah Brown, what is a realistic expectation for what his role is going to be come week one?
Week one, I don't know. I mean, obviously he's in good, you know, football shape because he's just gone through all the training camp. He just was, you know, released by Houston. So from that perspective, it should be good. You know, how quickly he's able to acclimate to what Cliff Kingsbury is wanting to call will be the big question. He does provide something that this group didn't have, and that's size. That's both as a receiver, he's 6'2", but also as a blocker. That's kind of what his calling card was when he was with Dallas. It's last year he had a bit of a breakout as a receiver that I think upped his profile a bit. Houston just, you know, they just have a ton of receivers. You know, they added Stephon Diggs this offseason, and I guess, you know, Brown just sort of lost out there in that battle. He gives them, you know, again, something they don't have. And that's the thing with this receiver room. We all know that other than Terry McLaurin, it's a lot of question marks, right? But each guy brings a certain specific element. Diami is the deep threat. Zacchaeus is the slithery slot receiver. Noah Brown's now this bigger blocker type. And while that's not, you know, you'd be better to have like all these traits in like one person, you know, something like that. If Cliff Kingsbury can figure out when and how best to use them, you can get by with people having, you know, these high-end specific skills. It's just that they don't lack, you know, you don't want to have Diami run necessarily an in route on 3rd and 8. That's not going to be his strength. Or you don't want Zacchaeus necessarily posting up in the red zone at 5'8". So you got to figure out how to use these players, when to use them, and then hopefully, you know, turn that into success.
Is there a high level interest of concern for you on the offensive side of the ball that you hope to feel a lot more comfortable about by a week from now?
Well, I mean, I think the left tackle situation, you know, there was, if Brandon Coleman doesn't get hurt and he continued to improve in the way it seemed like he was early on, where, you know, before the first preseason game, it looked like he would be the guy. He certainly had the momentum to become the starting left tackle. Then he gets hurt with his shoulder strain, misses all of preseason. He came back to practice yesterday, but it was only a week or, you know, just over a week before the season starts. That's a lot of to put on a rookie who basically, you know, missed almost all the summer here to go out in week one when you have another rookie at quarterback. So without Brandon Coleman and having a better feel for him, you know, it's left to Cornelius Lucas and Andrew Wiley, two guys that we know can play and they can be solid, but there's, you know, they're pretty much at their ceiling. We know they have limitations, as we've seen in the past over time in particular. So yeah, I think that part of it is definitely still a concern, without doubt. But hopefully, you know, Coleman is able to not only come in at some point and play, but, you know, show some of that potential and upside and give some hope, even with some, you know, rookie mistakes likely along the way.
Well, you know, Denton, it's we got good news today from the injury front, and listening to Coach about how he felt, but then taking the 3 days off and then going, depending on how hard they go against reps, against the ones in practice, just for maybe drills, or do you want to let it just let it continue to heal? Those are the questions. And then Wiley, I mean, did we really get a good look at him? Those are, and I don't think Scott had his finest moments throughout this preseason. So, and as a matter of fact, I think Chris Paul probably got more quality work in than most.
Yeah, I was surprised, to be honest, about Chris Paul at tackle. I really didn't know that he could do that. Now, again, you know, I always preface by saying when you're in this town, you're saying somebody did some good things at tackle. We're not saying they're Jacoby or Lachey, but, you know, to give them another option, maybe they have some more depth there. But, yeah, that to me, you know, it's been, look, offensive line play around the league is down from where things were, you know, I don't know, 10 years ago or so. So every team in the league needs linemen. And when you look at the waiver wires, there weren't really, like, even guys you'd be like, oh, that could be interesting. There really weren't even a lot of guys like that out there. Go back to the draft. Yeah, there were definitely a lot of tackles that were of note, but they all got drafted before Washington went in the second round, so they had to adjust. Free agency, honestly, there really were like maybe like two or three guys who were pretty interesting, but they were all either older players that don't fit for this timeline or they cost a lot of money. So this really was just a weird bad year for tackles, and it sort of reflected with where they're at. Yeah, maybe Coleman works, and maybe the better, you know, the vets they have hold up, but yeah, there's a lot of questions. It's not, you know, it is definitely a big reason why you have to look at them as a team that's going to figure out how to get a tackle next year. And it's also a good example of why I thought any possible trade for Brandon Ayuk was insane, in part because, sure, he's good, but you don't build a team through wide receivers. You build it through, you know, the line and other core positions. And trading away picks when you don't have a left tackle, you don't have enough edge rushing, when your cornerbacks are questionable, that's more important than a second wide receiver. So that's why I thought it made no sense to trade future picks, and they still have to address that, but hopefully they think they have enough to get by this year.
Amen. How much do you think that we're going to see them run week one, knowing that there is a little bit of questions with some of the guys on the offensive line that you just kind of alluded to? Do you think it's going to be a run-first offense against Tampa?
Tiger can't change his stripes. Kingsbury is going to throw, but at the same time, I think it's realistic to understand that, you know, Brian Robinson, if we eliminate the word second receiver and eliminate and instead say who are like the top two or three playmakers in this offense, I mean, it's clearly Brian Robinson is right there almost with Terry McLaurin. I think he's going to have a huge year. So it would be kind of nuts to not lean into him. And then you also have Austin Ekeler, who, you know, I very much want to see him in a game against another actual opponent rather than just practice where they're not tackling. But, you know, he's looked pretty good in camp, and that to me should easily be the strength of this offense. And, you know, the number two receiver is probably a combination of those two players. I could see them both getting or combining for like 80 catches this year, both in terms of, you know, what we've seen already out of them in their careers, but also, you know, with Jaden Daniels looking to get rid of the ball at times and just put the ball in their hands in different ways. I can see them, you know, motioning out of the backfield, lining up wide or whatever. So, yeah, I think the Robinson and Ekeler will be heavily featured, whether that's purely as the ground game, we'll see. But, you know, screens, passes in the flat, whatever it takes to get them the ball along with the standard carries, I think is, you know, what they're going to look to do.
I agree with you. And Ertz, to me, a healthy Ertz with the way Five gets rid of the ball, it's going to be like handing it off and keeping his jersey clean. And that'll allow this offensive line to develop and just hope that you avoid injury, because that's the worst thing that will get you while you're trying to let Brandon heal and Corny get settled is Allegretti, for him to get nicked or whatever. So you can just be fortunate enough to get a rhythm going. And the way they play hard, you know, and you've seen this, they come out there with the edge and the enthusiasm that they practice with, that they are making part of their culture. That's what's going to get them over the hump. Then we'll start winning ties. We lose all the ties in the past. But that edge and what they're trying to create can very well help them win those ties. And that's, brother, that's all that matters. You know, if we're equal, that we win some ties.
Yeah, look, you know, people always ask, you know, what, how do they look in practice? And, you know, I don't have to tell you this, but, like, you know, look, it's a lot of it is not, it's just, you know, working on some different skills, and there's no, you know, there's no tackling, there's no hitting. It's kind of hard to judge a ton. But one thing I think you can judge is the efficiency with the coaching staff is putting them through their paces and the enthusiasm that you see out there. And that enthusiasm comes across in both competitive ways, but also in camaraderie ways, in fun ways. There's ways to have, like, if you're sort of laughing and having a good time, but they're not putting in the work, then that's one thing. But when you're putting in the work, but then you're still, you know, enjoying being around the team, what the coaches are saying, you're all that, and you're having fun while doing all that, I think that's where you can see some real signs of hope. And I think that's what we've seen this year, for sure. They've been pretty enthusiastic, even on the days where they were just absolutely miserable because of the heat. I think we've seen that. So, yeah, I think that to me is part of the way to be optimistic. You know, again, optimism for me is not necessarily 10 wins. It's being competitive week in and week out, that Jaden Daniels shows he belongs in this league. And if those things can happen, regardless of the win total, I think this is definitely trending up. So that to me is what I'm looking for, and I think there's reason to believe that that can happen.
Dude, we'll go off on that note because I agree with you, man. As long as you love what you're doing, it never hurts. And eventually, you'll get to where you want to be if you get enough guys that believe what you believe. Ben Standing, as Coach Thompson would say, you are simply one of the best. Thank you for sharing your talents.
Doc and Denton, always appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
That is the guy. Standing room only. I'm telling you, if that is the podcast, he's the man. We're going to break now. Denton Day has got some breaking information as we tap into his brain when we come back. Don't forget.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Get Scott Jackson.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.